This past week, I was lucky enough to go out with my priest group, a couple of priest friends, to Colorado for some vacation, some time of renewal. One of the things we learned is that we're on the wrong side of our 30s because we spent much of the time bird watching. You know you're not young anymore when you pull out your binoculars to see a yellow spotted warbler and get really excited about it. But we went on a white water rafting trip, and that's one of the moments that's really sticking with me because I repent a bit of my experience there. We had a guide named Julia, and when we said we were all priests, she gave that response that maybe you have got before that kind of makes our hearts sink when we say we're Catholic or we're priests. And they say, oh, I grew up Catholic. Right? The insinuation that they were raised in the church, but have since fallen away from the practice of their faith. And I repent of my conversation, how I handled that, just because I noticed immediately I went on the defensive. In my mind and in my heart, I was ready for what was she going to attack me about what the church teaches, what was her bad experience with a priest that I was going to have to somehow, you know, account for. I was reminded, especially in praying with these scriptures for this Sunday, that we, in our efforts of evangelization, to bring the good news of Jesus to the world, we're much more on the offensive than on the defensive. Jesus goes to feed the 5,000. His hand is the hand that feeds. He calls out to the world through the prophet Isaiah in the first reading, "Come, all you who are thirsty, to drink." The world, our world much more now secularized and living without God, we have to believe at the core of the way we live is sad and hungry and thirsty. When we go out with this precious gift of the gospel, we don't go out defensively. We go out one as with food and with water and with medicine, with the best possible thing. We believe that life without God is sadness. We believe that as much as we believe the Trinity and the Eucharist and the Ten Commandments. This is the truth of our life. We have something that every person deeply desires, thirsts for, aches for. The satisfaction, the nourishment of faith and life in Christ. This reality is part of what led me to my own vocation as a priest. I didn't always know I was going to be a priest or wanted to be a priest, but I remember saying often as I grew up that I want to help people. I want to help people with my life, with my career. I'd seen that was a way of joy in my own life, I'd seen it in my parents as they lived out the stewardship way of life. And so I went to college and I was studying biomechanical engineering. I thought I could design prosthetic legs and hearts, things like that. I thought I could help people in this way. As I looked around, especially at my peers, and sensed this spiritual, deep human ache of the heart, something stirred in me that maybe God was calling me to be a priest, to try to be a doctor of souls, to provide for them in that way. And so one day I just asked a priest, what did you do today? And I thought if I could see myself living that same kind of life happily, maybe that was a sign that I too was called. So he told me, as often happens, he was called to the hospital. One of his parishioners was sick and dying. He learned as he drove over that this person was going to pass away. He said he walked into the room. There's doctors and nurses caring for this person. He's a little nervous, but he just says, "Excuse me, doctors. There's nothing more that you can do to help this person. There is something that I can do. Please step aside." And they did, and he gave that person the anointing of the sick. The Eucharist that the church teaches is viaticum, food for the journey to eternal life. And just when that struck me as he said that, even the way he said it, there's nothing more you can do to help this person. It just clicked in my mind and heart that that's what I'd meant my whole life. When I said I want to help people, it wasn't just for a time, even a few decades, a new leg, a new heart. Well, I wanted to help them to live forever, to nourish and satisfy this deep spiritual ache and hunger in their souls for the love of God. That they would know, no matter what sin they committed, no matter how big and how long they'd been away from the church, there was always, always hope for healing, for forgiveness, for salvation through the sacrament of confession. So I went into seminary and was there for 7 years, and like anything, there's ups and downs, good days and bad. And For myself, like many young men, the biggest obstacle in receiving this gift of priesthood was receiving the gift of celibacy that goes along with priesthood. To renounce this greatest good of this world, of marriage and the family, for the sake of the kingdom. And for me, a lot of that came up in conversations with my mom. I have an older brother who's a priest as well, Father Devin. He's the pastor at Christ the King. And so obviously our decision, our vocation, affects her life as well. And my mom, like most moms, she wanted us to be happy. But I say she wanted two things from her kids. First thing, she wanted grandkids. And then after that, all she wanted was more grandkids. And so, it was sometimes a difficult, honest, good conversation to have with her to try to receive and accept this call. And there's a tradition in the church that really helped me to do just that. So this is called the maniturgium. Maybe you've heard of this or seen this before, but when we're ordained, our hands are consecrated with holy oil, set apart that by my hands, by my weak flesh, bread and wine would become the body and blood of Jesus to feed his people. So at that Mass, practically, we just have to wash off our hands. We use a piece of cloth called the maniturgium in Latin. We wash our hands off with the holy oil. And the next day at our first Mass, we give that to our mom. Mom will be buried with that cloth in her hands. And when she gets to the gates of heaven, Jesus will ask her, "What have you given me with your life?" And at that moment, she'll open her hands and say, "I gave you my son as a priest." And so at my first Mass, I did this. I gave that to my mom. First thing I said to her was, just in case you lose the other one, here's a backup. But I also wanted to express to her this experience in prayer that the Lord had given to me that helped me to accept joyfully this gift of celibate priesthood. I envisioned myself following her, getting to the gates of heaven by the grace of God, and there seeing a line of thousands of souls. Souls living in perpetual bliss and joy that could honestly say, "I am here because of Father Garrett's priesthood. Because of the baptism that he gave to me, my communions, that is the bread of life, the confession that he heard, his presence in persona Christi as priest brought me Jesus, who is my hope and my salvation, the only way to be here in heaven." And one by one, I could introduce them to my mom and say, "Mom, see, I was never alone. My life was never without fruit. These are the ones I loved and who loved me. And perhaps they say that they would not be here without my priesthood, but I never would have been a priest without the faith and the love that she gave to me." This is the gift of any vocation. It has ripple effects into eternal life. And so for the young people here today, just again, I want to encourage you to take that seriously, that this is a real possibility for you, right? Not somebody else out there at a different Mass, at a different parish. It is a real possibility. Jesus has called you to a form of priesthood or consecrated life. I'm confident that there's young men and boys in this parish, maybe in the pews right now, with this same call. Call to lay down your life as a priest that others might live forever in heaven. Confident too that there's young women and girls in this parish, maybe in the pews right now, with such a unique and radical call to intimacy with Jesus that he would desire to call you his bride. The bride of Jesus, that's what a religious sister is. So please pray each and every day, at least in Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be, that you'd have the humility to receive God's call and the courage to respond yes. And for all of us to pray for them and support them, because simply put, this is a need in the church. We need priests and we need religious sisters. We can imagine if all of us for a generation dropped the ball and no young man said yes to the priesthood, where would the rest of us be? Spiritually hungry and aching without the bread of life in the Mass, and dead in our sin without the sacrament of confession. Young men, we need you to respond to God's call in your life, and we need young women as well. The church, the parish, church teaches us, is the family of God. So we know every family needs a father and a mother. for decades now, you can look at the stats, and there's thousands and thousands of less religious sisters, women, consecrated women in our experience, especially daily and weekly in the parish. So it's similar to an experience I had. At times, my mom would go away for a weekend and see her sisters, and dad was in charge at the house. I can say we survived, right? We got by. We had hot dogs and mac and cheese, and it wasn't as clean as it was supposed to be, and we got away with stuff we shouldn't have got away with. Okay, but for decades now in the church, this is the way we've been living. Father has been here to give us what we need. We're surviving. We're not thriving as we could without consecrated women, religious sisters, to be the spiritual mothers in the family of God. And so, young women, we need you as well. We need those images of total consecration of the brides of Christ that is all of our hope and our destiny as the church to be the bride of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, forever in heaven. And so please pray for young people. Encourage them if they might express an interest, a desire for priesthood or consecrated life. And even with courage, if the Holy Spirit puts it on your heart, invite a young person to consider one of these callings. Because this is usually how it happens. Someone sees it in me before I can see it in myself. So to say to a young man, you know, I see the way that you pray at Mass. Have you ever thought about being a priest? Not putting pressure on him or making a joke out of it, but with sincerity to a young woman. I know you really love our Lord Jesus. Maybe religious life could be a beautiful life for you. So please join me in this Mass and each day to pray for an increase in vocations to priesthood and consecrated life, to live out our own vocations to the best of our ability with faith and surrender in the Lord, to provide that for that spiritual ache that's all throughout the world. Living our vocations out to the full, we might make those ripple effects into eternity.